for those who are following Advent closely day by day. Today's liturgy will not take anyone by surprise. We have a prophecy of Isaiah, and then we have a passage about John the Baptist, or Jesus' message to John the Baptist. Let me point out just a little bit about the prophecy. It's a couple of verses in the early part of the reading. This is Isaiah 45. And these verses are picked up and inserted into the psalm as our psalm response. In the Isaiah, in this translation, it says, "Let justice descend, O heavens, like dew from above, like gentle rain, let the skies drop it down." So justice coming down from heaven, like gentle rain. The next verse, "Let the earth open and salvation bud forth, let justice also spring up." So justice coming down from heaven, justice springing up from the earth. And this is what was in the psalm response. "Let the clouds rain down the just one, and the earth bring forth a savior." Now, it might not strike you this way, but the fathers of the church picked up on these verses and said, this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ, God and man, his divinity and his humanity. His divinity comes down from heaven, like gentle rain, he descends from heaven, and certainly that's the incarnation, God, the Word, coming down, but he also is born. He's born of a woman, he's born of the Virgin. He comes forth from the human family, so he springs up from the earth as well. So that's what these verses, interpreted by the fathers of the church, mean for us, a revelation of the divinity and humanity of the Messiah. Now, so that's the first reading in the psalm. But when we get to the gospel, we come to the great figure of John the Baptist again. This is what I'd like to focus on now, because John the Baptist is really a crucial figure, and we can't get anywhere unless we understand and accept the mission of John the Baptist. You remember that on Monday and Tuesday, it was Jesus point in the gospel, Jesus pointing to John the Baptist. Jesus on the threshold of his own passion and death and resurrection, speaking about John who was already dead. So Jesus pointing to John the Baptist. John the Baptist is always pointing to Jesus. And in this gospel, we go back in time a little bit. John is still alive here. In Matthew's version of this passage, it's explicit that John is in prison. But in this verse, in Luke's version, it doesn't say that he's in prison, but we assume that he's in prison. So it's not Jesus on the threshold of his passion, it's John on the threshold of his passion, John in prison. That's the setting. And John hears from his disciples about what Jesus is doing, and he sends two of his disciples to Jesus to ask this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Most of the scripture commentaries interpret this as a crisis of faith on the part of John the Baptist. I'm more hesitant about that, because if you say something too negative about John the Baptist, you have to contradict what Jesus himself says about John the Baptist being the greatest of the prophets, greater than anyone born of woman, John being the fulfillment of the prophecy about Elijah. So it can't go too far with that idea that John is in prison and he's losing his faith. I think that's too much. I think it's possible to reflect on this passage as John with a legitimate question. After all, I mean, John, even though he's sanctified in the womb and is a dedicated prophet of the Lord, it doesn't mean he knows everything. So he has a legitimate question, and like a wise man, he sends his question to Jesus. Who else should he ask? So that, I think, we should learn from his example. If we want to understand the ways of God, let's ask the Lord. I think we can also see in this John's concern for his own disciples. Remember, John gathered a lot of people, attracted a lot of people, and he pointed out Jesus to them. There's the Lamb of God. There's the one who will take away the sins of the world. Behold, that was John's proclamation. And some of his disciples did follow Jesus. A number of them are among the apostles. But not all of them did. So some of them are still considering themselves disciples of John and not of Jesus. And they come to John in prison and they explain, well, this guy Jesus is doing this and that. So maybe the problem here is that the disciples of John are the ones who need the answer to the question. I think that's also a legitimate interpretation. Either way, the question comes up, are you the one, or should we look for another? And the question comes up because the expectation of John and the expectation of his disciples and of the Jews in general was that when the Messiah comes, he will come with power. He will be a fiery revolutionary. He will cast down the evil one, and he will gather the tribes of Israel, and he will, you know, bring about a great restoration. And it doesn't look like Jesus is doing that. Remember what John said in Sunday's gospel, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the fire? That's really the question. What's happening here? Now, John, who is a man of faith, could, even though he's in the darkness of the prison cell, he could, I think, say he's the one, but God has not yet decided that it's time for him to reveal himself fully. But the disciples are probably saying, well, why did John point out this man? He's not doing what we thought. So a clarification is needed. Now, this might not be a difficulty for us because we know that Jesus did send the Holy Spirit and fire on Pentecost. We know more of the story than they knew. We know Jesus is not only doing ministry to the poor and the sick, he also dies and rises from the dead. So we're given a much more brilliant picture of who Jesus is than has been given at this time in the gospel. But here they are asking, are you the one? And now Jesus' answer is a brilliant one. Not only does he tell them to recount to John what he's doing, he's healing the blind, giving sight to the blind, you know, restoring the lame, healing the lepers, driving out the demons, raising the dead. Not only is that a simple recounting of the facts of the moment, it's also a very clear fulfillment of one of the prophecies of Isaiah. As Isaiah said, on that day, the deaf will hear, the blind will see, the lame will walk. So, in other words, see here, not just a preacher who can do miracles, see here the fulfillment of the prophecies. Don't take offense. See in faith that the time has come, and continue to wait for his mission to be completed. So yes, the time will come when he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, when he will sort out the wheat and the chaff. In fact, we're looking forward to that day ourselves. In the end, everything is settled, not yet. Now, while we're pondering this, I think it's good to take a moment to reflect on the experience of faith challenges or crises of faith or times of doubt or times of question, because we all experience this. We pray, we think God will do this, he doesn't do it. We hope and expect that God will intervene, he doesn't. And then we're left wondering, well, what am I supposed to do? Something else? Am I supposed to expect something else? What's happening here? And for many people, it can become a really difficult crisis. People who really struggle with faith, when severe trials come on us, it can really shake us. So we can learn from John the Baptist in that, in this sense as well. One of the things to learn here, or to remember here, is that faith is not simply an intellectual assent to the truth. It is that, but it's more than that. Is that faith is not just saying, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty Creator, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. It is that, that's the faith, but there's more to faith than that, because it's easy to make that statement of faith when everything is fine, and we can think clearly and we can accept what's revealed. What happens typically is not that our mind changes. What happens typically is that our emotions change, or the circumstances change, or we meet an old friend, or something comes along to tempt us. That's what happens. It's not that our mind, our understanding of the faith changes usually. What usually happens is some storm of emotion, or change in our mood, or we just feel bad, or we're disappointed, or we're sad, or we're tempted. And then it seems in those moments like we would be better off not believing, because we could get on a lot better with our friends if we weren't so religious, or we would make a lot more money if we didn't have to be so honest. Or we could get further in our own plan if what we believed didn't get in the way. That becomes the crisis. And that's why faith requires perseverance. Faith requires a dedication to what we believe, even when we don't feel like it. That's why I always honor people who go to Mass on Sunday. A lot of people go to Mass on Sunday even though they don't feel like it. They would rather sleep in or do something else. And they go to Mass on Sunday because they think it's the right thing to do. And they say, I don't get anything out of it, but I think it's the right thing to do. That's faith. That's faith. And that's a step in the right direction. It's not very far, but at least it's a step in the right direction. The person who says, if I don't get anything out of it, I won't do it, is denying his faith. He's not living by faith. If we live according to our moods, well, then we don't live by faith. In fact, we don't live by reason either. We just live according to whatever our emotions happen to bring up. Okay, so now here we are. We're well into Advent. Advent has there are a lot of emotions and sentiments and circumstances that come into Advent. We want to feel the warmth of coming of Christmas. We might not feel it. We want to experience joy, we might not feel it. Well, the message of this liturgy is, even if you don't feel it, hold on. The journey of faith is not all about how you feel. Okay? I'm not telling you to feel bad, but if you do, just keep holding on. If you feel like you're in a prison like John the Baptist, hold on. God, in his time, and in his way, reveals himself. There's no doubt about that. So don't base your life on what happens to go on. If there happens to be a surge of the virus, or there happens to be a political crisis, or happens to be an illness or something, yeah, those things will happen. That's not the level on which our faith is based.